we have succeeded in getting Joel Pollack back online, and he is the senior editor at large at Breitbart News. It's an absolute honor to have him chat to us here on Chai FM this afternoon. Joel, are you with me and can you hear me?
Yes, just one correction. I'm no longer at Breitbart News. I'm the opinion editor at the California Post.
We will take that aboard, and apologies. I even Googled that two minutes ago, and it's lagging. Social media and Google is lagging. Let's talk about issues happening in the U.S. of A. The Golden Medina, it's turning out to be not quite the Medina that we thought it was. Eric Adams, the ex-mayor of New York, outgoing mayor of New York, visiting Israel. Maybe that's a good place to start by asking you, what is it that he said about Jewish New Yorkers, and why has it sparked such strong reactions?
Well, I'm not sure we're not still the Golden Medina, as you say. I mean, I think this country has endured some pretty difficult challenges. What's happening in New York is unfortunate, but it's the result of policy decisions that allowed a huge number of foreign-born migrants to enter the country and to become voting citizens, including Mr. Zohran Mamdani himself. And they have a very different outlook that, in fact, overwhelms that of Americans who've lived here and have assimilated into the political culture of the United States. So now they're bringing ideals of socialism and anti-Semitism and post-colonialism, and they're going to try to make it work. And this has always been the conceit of socialists and communists when it comes to the United States, that they believe they can make communism work, they can make their anti-colonialism work because of the vast wealth of the United States, without realizing, of course, that the only reason that that wealth exists is because of a commitment to classical Judeo-Christian and liberal values, which are anathema to socialists. So I think the country is still fine. It's going to endure this, but it will adjust. You'll see wealthy people move out of New York, and you'll see Jews move out of New York, possibly to Israel. I mean, it's not going to be sustainable unless Zohran Mamdani radically changes his radical policies before taking office.
Joel, I'll tell you why I asked the question, because over the last 2 days I've been reporting on stories happening in America, and two popped up yesterday, reported by the Israeli press, actually. The one was a story of Rashida Tlaib pushing a genocide resolution. Seems to be she had 30 or 40 Democrats sign on to whatever resolution she was looking to pass. And the second thing was a challenge to Richie Torres, who I personally hold in incredibly high regard, by another Democratic socialist. It seems to me that the ground is incredibly fertile. Something seems to be happening in the Democratic Party that seems to be, I'm just going to say it like it is, pretty terrifying if you're a Jew.
It's not terrifying. I mean, it's upsetting, but I don't feel afraid to be Jewish any more than I did before all of this nonsense happened, and any more than I did before October 7th. I mean, I think we tie ourselves into knots thinking that the hatred of these people means we have to change the way we live. The vast majority of Americans haven't changed in their opinions of Jews in Israel. If anything, opinions have become more positive because Israel's success in the war has tended to inspire admiration, and people are very proud of Israel and proud of President Trump's involvement in the war and involvement in the peace. So I think, you know, I've been thinking about this, reading some of what's being written about how people feel afraid, and I understand that the feeling is real, but we can also change how we feel. And I don't feel at all afraid to be Jewish and openly Jewish. I do think we have to deal with a lot more nonsense like the Rashida Tlaibs of the world in the Democratic Party, and also the Tucker Carlsons of the world on the right, who are trying to infest the Republican Party. So you're seeing it from both sides, and historically that has some rather bad results. But I do think that it's going to fade, because none of what they're preaching actually works for anybody. I mean, the ideology, look, there's a story in the news today. There's a Rhodes Scholar from Harvard, my alma mater. He happens to be a young man from South Africa. And young black South African went to a kind of a preparatory school of some kind in Johannesburg,
yeah.
Was admitted to Harvard and seems to be about to graduate, and he won a Rhodes Scholarship. Well, you know, wonderful story, fantastic story, except that he gave a speech or wrote some kind of article last year, I don't know what it was, but he gave a speech praising October 7th.
Oh, no.
And, you know, Harvard, instead of punishing him for that, has rewarded him for it. His name is Sazi Bongwe. Okay. Now, if you were to call for the murder of any other group of people, or to at least justify the mass murder of any other group of people, you wouldn't get nominated for any kind of scholarship. But Harvard had to nominate him for the Rhodes, and he won. And good luck to him. It might get you some scholarships. But there's no country in the world that has ever embraced anti-Zionism and succeeded. Not one. It's almost like the same track record as socialism or communism. You cannot find a single example of success. And, you know, that's why I'm not terribly worried about what we're seeing. I mean, it bothers me, but it doesn't make me feel fearful. I do think that Eric Adams made a very important solidarity visit to Israel. I think it's important also because he's not seeking votes. You know, he's not running for office anymore. He's leaving office. So to those who say that politicians only appeal to the Jewish community and to the pro-Israel community when they're looking for votes, I think it's a rebuke to that. I think what he's doing is he's trying to say that New York remains committed to its Jewish community, that it retains a connection with Israel. And I think he's doing that on the way out so that it's something Zohar and Mamdani will think twice before trying to undo.
It's interesting that he said, stay and fight. Reclaim your space. This is your city. I thought that was an interesting approach to take.
Well, it's definitely how people feel. And I can tell you that there are more people investing in firearms ownership and gun training in the religious Jewish community. That's been a story for the last several years. But you know, that's also part of America. I mean, that's the Second Amendment to the Constitution. That's our right to keep and bear arms, and people are starting to take it seriously. So I think you're going to see some pushback, and I think Zohran Mamdani is incapable of the reform he needs to make. And so I think it's going to go very badly for him, politically, economically, and otherwise. So I'm not terribly worried. I mean, I do feel like this is a problem that over time will work itself out.
That's a very interesting approach. I'm very glad that we're having this chat because I must say I hadn't thought of it in those terms. I'm also amazed by the extent to which Jews appear to be their own worst enemies. And I'm thinking about the Mamdani monitor, which was launched by the Anti-Defamation League, which seemed a very reasonable thing for me to do under the circumstances. And then the next day I read there was massive pushback by a huge amount of Jews who felt that this was racist and unnecessary.
I don't think those Jews who pushed back against it represent the Jewish community. I think the Anti-Defamation League was 100% right to do that. I think it's important to let politicians know that they're going to be scrutinized. And I think the Anti-Defamation League is finally getting back to its core mission of defending Jewish people. It really wandered off into left-wing ideology for quite some time and discredited itself. And I think this is welcome. And the Jews who spoke out against it are the usual crowd. You know, they're not in my name. Tiny, insignificant minority of Jews who, because they oppose Jews, are given much more attention by the media.
So then to talk about that Richie Torres challenge, I don't know what you'd call him. I know the Social Democrat is the opponent. I don't know, he's just mainstream. Are you well, you wouldn't be concerned because it's not your party, but are you discerning a concerning trend in the Democratic Party that's pulling it far to the left? And do you think that would cause a break between what has always been traditionally a Jewish vote meant a Democratic vote?
I don't care if Jews vote for Democrats. I mean, I'd rather they didn't. But I think Richie Torres has been a rare exception in the Democratic Party in that he's been vocally and vehemently pro-Israel, as has Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania. There are two examples of pro-Israel Democrats, but there are very few of them left because many of the pro-Israel Democrats have been silenced and suppressed. And for a while, until very recently, you could say that Republicans were the party of pro-Israel Jews and pro-Israel Christians. Lately, however, there is a faction of extreme right-wingers who are trying to take over the institutions of the conservative movement. There's a big fight going on right now. And while Donald Trump has had an outstanding record on Israel and on Jews, you're starting to see some of these right-wing influencers trying to push his pro-Israel policies aside. And there's a big fight going on right now about it. And I'm involved in that to some degree. But, you know, whatever happens, no party can oppose Israel and succeed. And that's not because Israel is all powerful. It's because the principles of success that make Israel successful are universal. And if you oppose Israel and if you oppose what it's doing, then generally speaking, you're opposing principles that make you successful. And so you're going to fail. I mean, I understand these principles can sometimes win elections, but they don't translate into progress in the real world. And so the Republican Party, if it embraces this anti-Israel wing, is simply going to split, and it's not going to win elections in the near future. That, Trump will be gone, and that'll be it for 4, 8, maybe 12 years. I mean, it's not sustainable to carry an anti-Israel wing into an election, and the Democrats are finding that out the hard way, and I'm afraid the Republicans may be in for a lesson too.
Joel Pollack, what fascinating insights. I'm going to talk to you one of these days about the MAGA wing and anti-Semitism there. But for today, really appreciate your time. Thank you so very much.